Good morning. This morning I'll be reading James 2, verse 14 to 16, page 978. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.
If someone watched your life for a week, no audio or running play-by-play, no explanation or commentary, just your actions, what would they say that you believe? What would they say you have faith in? Talk is cheap. It's as cheap as it's ever been. Social media, the daily news, all full of bold statements and public opinions. Our world is filled with words, so much of it. Sound and fury signifying nothing. Our scripture today asks, is your faith more than words? Does it move you? A faith that works doesn't just speak, it serves. A living faith always produces something. A faith that saves is more than mental agreement. It moves us. The Bible asks a piercing question. What good is it if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? The example given here is exaggerated for effect. Someone in your life, here now, is literally naked, nearly dead from starvation. The author is going for effect, as much as anything, rhetorically asking in verse 16, if one of you says to them, "Well, go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? We can maybe conceive of a stranger, perhaps, keeping their head down, avoiding eye contact, but we know that no one could see someone that they knew well or cared for in that position, in that kind of situation, and fail to do something about it. It defies imagination. The author knows the answer is obvious. Any sort of real relationship would compel us in that situation to stop everything and give that person something to wear, to cover up with. Find them something to eat. That's not considered heroic. It's basic proof that you're still human, right? That you're still alive. Well, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Consider. What kinds of needs do I say I'll pray about, but never actually step in to help? Is my faith visible in what I do, not just what I say? So, with a perhaps just a tinge of sarcasm, the Apostle Paul will write to the Corinthians, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Would they be moved to actually act? Then in Luke's gospel, Jesus told us, "I am among you as one who serves." And in Luke 6, he exclaims, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" We are not responsible for solving every problem, meeting every need. The world is not yours to save. Let's avoid getting too big for our britches. But aren't there relationships in your life that move you to lovingly serve when the need arises? Aren't there connections in your life that would move you to all manner of service without ever feeling like you were actually being imposed upon? Unless, of course, the relationship is dead. Then we feel imposed upon all the time and very easily. Faith that works comes from a real living relationship with Jesus Christ. So that for Christians, as Galatians 5 verse 6 says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. A faith that works doesn't just speak, it serves. It expresses itself through love. It moves to serve. Serve, not perform. Faith in Jesus Christ will not impose, but propose. God's love moves us to humbly and hopefully serve as opportunities arise. Now James imagines pushback, responding to the one who says, "Easy, easy. One person has faith, another has deeds," believing that at least it's possible to have one without the other. Understand, a faith in anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ, it won't work. A faith in good theology doesn't work. Even faith informed by absolute truth will not save. As the brother of the Lord puts it, "Show me your faith without deeds. I will show you my faith by my deeds." You believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. A sincere faith always produces something. Even the enemies of all goodness, truth, and beauty believe in God. Their faith, coincidentally, produces fear that leads them to shudder. This is not about earning our salvation, but about evidence. Not earning, evidence. What is your faith producing? What is your faith producing? Now, does it drive you to impress others with your deep knowledge of the Bible? Your amazing spiritual accomplishments? That's faith. I'm just not sure it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His mercy and His grace. A faith like that eventually produces anxiety because you aren't sure you've performed well enough for long enough. A faith like that causes concern, maybe even for you to shudder with fear, because you're not sure it's strong enough to save the person you secretly know yourself to be. That's not a faith that works in the long run. This, though, is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus, who lived as if even a sparrow could not fall without his Father's knowledge, and found comfort and courage in the fact that that couldn't even happen without God knowing, who, regardless of the circumstances, assumed his Father's love and care. When we have faith in Jesus, we share his beliefs about our Heavenly Father. We count on and live each day in the very same love that Jesus did. And there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Think of a healthy marriage. Think about a good relationship between a parent and a child. They don't worry about if they are serving exactly right or not enough. Words are shared that guide and change. There's a mutual sensitivity that grows over time, so that the relationship keeps them often in step with one another, and there's mercy and grace when they aren't. I mean, let's get real. Is there love in this place? Of course there is. There's no doubt that you love your grandkids, that you love your children, your spouse, your parents, your closest friends. And in that love, understand, it didn't originate with you. You did not create it. No, we love because he first loved us. Again, faith always produces something. So you might ask yourself, what is my faith producing? Romans 5:10 points out that while we were still sinners, God sent his Son. While we were still dead in our brokenness, our struggles, our addictions, Christ died for us. If through the death of Jesus we believe that sinners are made right with God, how much more will be accomplished and renewed through his resurrection and his life? So a faith that works, a faith in Jesus Christ and not in ourselves, will move us forward, not simply to try harder to prove that we're worth saving in the first place, but to action. Often the action simply of turning to Jesus again in repentance, because we know he's right and good and kind, and because who else has the words of eternal life? This is a faith that puts all of its weight on the one whose grace is sufficient even for me. What actions is your faith producing? For too many, keep faith with the gospel of self-reliance. Someone else remarks, because self-reliance is something we can control, manipulate, and measure according to our efforts. Grace, on the other hand, is countercultural, with its rejection of self-sufficiency and its relinquishing of power. Whether we recognize it or not, our culture is sadly intoxicated with the lure of all that's measurable and based on self-reliance, even for those who claim to represent the gospel of Christ. We say we trust that Jesus is enough, but we spend our lives trying to prove that we are instead. But a faith in Christ is a faith that actually works. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you've got faith in something or someone. Of that, there is no doubt. Even if only in yourself you have faith, what is your faith producing? A shudder? Or is there evidence of something else? James concludes his point here, considering two very different people who were moved by their faith to take action. What does your faith move you to do? Highland brothers and sisters, there is no merit in this movement. Our good deeds do not earn anything. No amount of striving will impress God. For those in Jesus Christ, he could not be more impressed. So put your faith in him. Again, today. For it was only through faith in God that Abraham became a father of many nations. Only through faith that he opened up his hands, not even clinging to the miraculous blessing of his son Isaac, but offered even this incredible gift of God back to God. It was by grace through faith that Abraham walked with God, even when God did not make any sense at all to him. Are we still suspicious of his goodness? Still waiting for the other shoe to drop? Our passage also mentions Rahab, a woman who was never going to win any morality contests. Her lifestyle was never going to prove that she was a spiritual giant. Her life was one of shame, brokenness, suffering, and sorrow. Hers was no glorious picnic, but she would live to sing and shout the victory. For by faith, she risked whatever she might have had to protect strangers, foreigners, and a God she was only just beginning to get to know. Understand, a faith in having said the right words one time, some sort of magical incantation, if said the right way, leads not to faith in Jesus Christ, but into belief in some sort of magical transaction. In contrast, faith that works saves us by grace. It's a faith in the grace found in and through our relationship with Jesus Christ, which inevitably moves us to actions of one kind or another. It is not a one-time transaction. It's not a contract, but a daily relationship with Jesus that moves us. Maybe for you, it's like the choice not to cheat in school, even when everyone else is getting away with it. For others, it's that decision, right in the moment when it feels impossible, to lovingly serve your spouse or family member or neighbor. There's any number of possibilities. The alternative, though, is singular. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Each time I've read that last verse, it's kind of caught me up a little bit. I want to ask, well, did James mess up here? As one commentator reflects, if I were writing this and were to use the body and the spirit as a picture of faith and works, I would make faith correspond to the spirit and works to the body. After all, faith happens in the spiritual dimension and works seem more tangible, right? Or in the body. Yet the image here is of a very tangible body, a corpse. And anyone who has ever had to lay to rest someone they knew well, a loved one, I think knows. To see the body in that moment is forever strange. Because though it is undeniably recognizable, the loved one isn't there. The loved one isn't there. It has been my experience every single time. The person I associate with that body is not there anymore. It's a body without a spirit, and it does not move. It does not move. Friends, a faith that works is more than mental agreement. We are moved by our saving faith, and a living faith produces actions of one kind or another. What is my faith moving in me right now? What's moving in me? What's moving in you? Is there an action I've been avoiding that my relationship with God is generating within me? For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to move in some form or another, in ways which God has prepared in advance for us to do. During World War II, a Dutch Christian named Corrie ten Boom and her family began hiding Jews in their home to protect them from the Nazis. They were eventually caught, and Corrie was sent to a concentration camp. Her sister Betsy, dying in that terrible place, reminded Corrie, "There is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still." After the war, Corrie traveled and preached forgiveness, even toward those who had imprisoned and beaten her. One day after a message, a former guard from the same camp she had suffered in approached her and asked for forgiveness, extending his hand. Corrie froze. All her words fell short. She felt nothing but hatred. But she silently prayed, "I cannot forgive him. Jesus, help me. Give me your strength." She reached out, and as she did, she felt a current of love and healing rush through her body. That moment revealed her faith, not one built on admittedly very impressive, even inspiring words or teaching, but in Jesus, whose guiding love moved her to take the action of shaking a man's hand. A faith on the move. A faith that works. Worship team, come on up. A faith that works because he lives. Because he lives. Let's sing together.